Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for all those who came out and to sit at your feet, sit at your table, and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I ask you right now, Father God, we just think that the atmosphere is clear, that only your glory is here, that no demonic force of hell can interfere with what you're doing here this morning. And Father God, open up your children's spiritual ears so they can hear what you're saying. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is that, like they said, this is a week of love. But God doesn't count weeks of love. He counts 365 days a year of love. And when I pray to see what he wanted me to talk about this morning, it's the love factor. The reason why the body of Christ is not attracting more people into the house of God is because we are not like Jesus. We are not love vessels. And there's too much contradiction in the church. The church is sometimes just as lost as the world is. Sometimes the world has more love than the church does. I'm quite sure you find on the streets they love one another and they take care of one another, right? They look out for one another. And I don't see that in the house of God. It's dog eat dog in the house of God most of the times. And this isn't what God wants. He wants things changed and rearranged. And he wants us to be more like his son, Jesus. And this morning, I really want you, if you're a minister of any type, I really want you to listen to what God is saying about love. Because if you're a minister that does not have love and you have a strife and envy and backbiting going on in your life, then you're not a true vessel of God. And God can't use you to the extent he wants to use you. Because you have to be full of love and compassion. You have to be humble. In other words, be able to sit still and keep your mouth shut. You know? Not have to have the last word. But just like God, what you do is just be praying, Holy Spirit, you take control. And you can minister to this person where I can't. Amen? Got that all together now? All right, on January the 19th, I was speaking to somebody on the phone, and we were praying about something, and they said to me, has God spoken yet? And I said, no. Then God said, but I will. Believe me, I will. I'm not going to tolerate lack of love out of my stewards of my word. I can and shall rip the rug out from under their feet in a split second. That was God speaking. My church does not know how to love as I love. They do not know how to love as my son Jesus loved as he hung on the cross. But believe me, they will. This world is searching for love and they don't know where to find it. And they are saying to the church, I want to know what love is and I want you to show me. Now that's where God stopped. All right. God said, my church does not know how to love as I love. They do not know how to love as my son Jesus loved as he hung on the cross. But believe me, they will. Now, what is it going to take? What's God going to have to do to you to shake you up to learn how to walk in the love of Christ? Now, if you've been ordained under the Lighthouse Church, then you better walk in love. Because that's really what we're all about. And if you haven't learned that yet, then there's something really wrong with you. It's not with the church. It's not with your friends. It's not with your next door neighbor, but it's with you. There's something in you that you have not yet given to God for him to change and rearrange so you can love the agape love that God loves with. All right? That is your foundation. If you don't have love, you can't minister. If you don't have love, you can't have long suffering. You just can't do anything without love. Because God is love. Jesus is love. And if you profess to have both of them in you, then why aren't you walking in love? See, this is what you contradict yourself when you say, well, I have Jesus in me and I have God in me, but yet you don't love. There's a problem there. Now, we need to understand that the enemy works at both ends, causing us to hate those we are called to reach out to. And when we do, he uses their mistrust toward us to make them misunderstand God. Let's read that again. We need to understand that the enemy works at both ends, causing us to hate those who are called to reach, that we are called to reach out to. And when we do, he uses their mistrust toward us to make them misunderstand God. This is our war, to hold on to our love, to hold on to God's unconditional love. This is what we have to do. Nobody, I can't do that for you. This is our war, individually, to hold on to our love, to hold on to God's unconditional love. And truly, we can only be victorious if we know God's love for ourselves. If you don't know that God loves you, how are you going to tell somebody else that God loves them? You have to know that God loves you unconditionally. If there's anything that I do know that God loves me unconditionally. I do know that God is a God of love and of compassion, long-suffering. And I do know that your love walk will be tested every day of your life. God will place you among people or in situations where your love walk is going to be tested. Now it's up to you whether or not your love walk fails or it goes forth. When we have experienced the captivating power of God's unconditional love, we are compelled to forgive and release those who have wounded us and love them. We are compelled to forgive and release those who have wounded us and love them. Are you listening here? I want to stop there for a minute. You know, right now, the body of Christ, there are people who have been really walking with God with all of their heart, really deeply engrossed in God, and all of a sudden they're reverting back to their own selves, their own natures. And God is displeased with this. And the reason is, somewhere along the line, they walked out of the love walk, and then the enemy had an inroad into their lives, and he was able to steal part of them back to him. And now the struggle is going to be to get free of the enemy again, so that you can stay free and do the things God has called you forth to do. You know, if you can't love those in your own household, how are you going to love the world? If you can't love those who spit on you, how are you going to love anyone else? Are you listening here? We are commissioned to go out and reach the earth with the good news of the message of Jesus. How we model the Lord is what the world will see. Say that again. We are commissioned to go out and reach the earth with the good news of the message of Jesus. How we model the Lord is what the world will see. It is most important to let the light of Jesus shine through us, saturated in the love of God. That light has to be saturated in the love of God. There is no other way to reach a hurting world. God is love. He just doesn't have love. And true love never fails. Are you listening here? Our battle is to always remember that God so loved the world that he sacrificed his own son to save them. Our battle is to always remember that God so loved the world that he sacrificed his own son to save them. That's our battle. We have to, when the enemy comes to steal our love, we need to say, no, Jesus hung on that cross for me. That was love that hung on that cross, and I'm not going to give that love up. See, that's your battle. You have to win that battle. You have to convince the enemy that you are not going to go the way of him, and you're going to stay with the cross. I'll always remember every offense is an opportunity for a miracle of his grace. Always remember every offense is an opportunity for a miracle of his grace. At this point, I'm just going to give an illustration. I was doing something in my house and I remembered I had hid some money somewhere. And I went to get it and it was gone. And somebody in the house stole it. And I was really upset because they were supposed to be doing me a favor, and while doing me a favor, they found my money and stole my money. I had to for 1 hour stay before God to stay in love, in my love walk with that person. You know, how could you do this to me? How could I do anything to God that I do? Are you listening here? But I worked my way through it, and then I said, well, you know, easy come, easy go. Not really that way, but you know, I said, well, God, you know, you can supply. I can make the devil has to return it back 100-fold, right? But that's just an example. You know, I had to work for an hour, though. Boy, I was furious. I had to work for an hour to get back in, to stay. I didn't get out of the love walk, to stay in the love walk. Say, Father, I forgive them. And I hope they enjoyed the money. All right, 1 Timothy 1:5. The whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith, a life open to God. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith, a life open to God. According to 1 Corinthians 13, love hopes all things. I want you to read this, listen to this, or read it. Love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things, doesn't take into an account a wrong suffered. We're not passing this test very well. Endures hard things, yet still possessing the strength to be kind. Now let's read that again and see where you have to work, what you have to work on. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things, doesn't take into account a wrong suffered, endures hard things, yet still possessing the strength to be kind. Hello. Come on, husbands and wives, neither one of us are perfect, and we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to mess up. Are you walking out 1 Corinthians 13? Maybe you might have to be like I did. Go away for an hour in your bedroom and just, you know, and get over that thing and get your, keep in your love walk. And just hope and pray to God that you don't slip and fall and have them on you. You see what I'm saying? When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we can display this love to a very hurting, confused, and angry world. Now, let's say that again. When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we can display this love to a very hurting, confused, and angry world. People are looking for answers, not accusations. People are looking for answers, not accusations. Are you hearing that? They don't want you to look at them and say, look, you're a dirty bum, you're a drug addict. They don't want to hear, they already know all this. They want you to look at them and tell them there's a better way. And that way is Jesus Christ. And that way is the cross, the love. And you're supposed to be that love vessel. People are looking for answers, not accusations. There is a book with the title, We Were Them Before We Were Us. Isn't that neat? We were them before we were us. And each one of you need to remember that. I don't care what you went through or what somebody else is going through. You need to remember that. The Bible says, don't forget from whence you came. You so quickly forget what you used to be. God will remind you. If you do that too often, remember what you were like when Jesus transformed your life. So treat people with the same kindness you needed. God says, let my eyes be your eyes, is what he says. Let my eyes be your eyes. What he's saying is, look through my eyes at everybody you come in contact with and quit looking at them through the natural. God has spoken to that to me many times over the years. He wants to instill trust in us, to let him guide us and not depend on our own ability to see. I'm working with somebody who, with the natural eye, you would think, get out of here. But when I take, because, and God told me to work with them, and God's always told me what a wonderful person they're going to be and what he's going to do with them. And slowly but surely, I'm watching that person come out of that cocoon that they were in and emerge out of that thing and starting to become the man of God that God said he's going to be. And I'm excited about that. First will be last, and last will be first. And I just can't hardly contain myself waiting to see the day that that person becomes the butterfly and starts flying, and everybody else is standing with their mouth gapped wide open because they thought that that person would never amount to anything, and they thought they would. Are you listening here? The abundance of sin in this age should not shock us. Romans 5:26 tells us, where sin does abound, his grace does much more abound. In the midst of great darkness, the light of Christ shines brighter through us to a very desperate world. In the midst of great darkness, the light of Christ shines brighter through us to a very desperate world. You know, I had Dr. Phil on the other day as I was doing something in my bedroom, and he made a statement that, well, the one lady was talking about, you know, her daughter was a lesbian, and she's she goes to church and she believes the Bible that you shouldn't do that. Well, he jumped up and he said, I'm a devout Christian and my Bible doesn't tell me that. So Dr. Phil won't be on my TV no more. And then he went on to expound how this was what life should be like. You know, the world, what I'm saying here is the world is getting darker and darker and darker. And we need to let our light shine brighter and brighter and brighter. With love, and not condemnation, but with love, to bring the world to see the truth of God's word. Amen? Come on. If we are going to minister to that hate-filled world, here are a few pointers. Number one, be with God before you are with them. Number two, people that Jesus sends out have spent time with him to know him. Three, Jesus is a friend to people/sinners who are away from him, and God will give you his heart for his friends. Stay in his presence until your heart beats with his. Develop the art of hearing his voice and let your character be defined by his. I was in the presence of God all day yesterday, and I was so sad all day. God is so upset with the body of Christ because they will not relent and be the love vessels that he's calling forth to be. They will not get free and stay free. The church is bound and you're going out there and you're binding up others by your false doctrine and your false religions and your false love and your pretend love and your hate and your backbiting and your bitterness. God was upset. You know, he was sad all day yesterday. And it was a terrible place for me to be in because, you know, if you walk close to God, you feel God's heart. And whenever he's sad, you're sad. And it's sort of hard to be happy when he's sad. And it was really hard to try to get studying done because it was just like a void, a great void. And God has been calling out to the church and calling out to the church and calling out the church to get it right and keep it right and to be vessels of love. And you, if you're going to be a leader, then be a true leader. Be a leader that loves and be a leader that ministers only the truth of God's word. Don't second guess anything in God. Know the truth of God's word and live it. Live it. You know, if you're a leader, you're supposed to be leading others. If you have reverend in front of your name, you're supposed to be leading others, not into sin, not into half-truth, but into the full truth of the cross of Jesus. First of all, you have to be living that life before you can lead somebody else down that road. Right? You know, the Word of God said to blind lead the blind and to both fall in the ditch. Do you know that God is going to hold you accountable for all those souls that went to hell that He sent your way for you to minister to? He is. When He told me that when I first started that real, I got a fear of God like I've never had before. And I don't want to stand before God one day and have your blood on my hands. I don't want to do that. And the only way you can say you won't have your somebody else's blood on your hands is if you're truly walking like Jesus walked. Living like Jesus lived. And quit all this dumb stuff that the body of Christ does. He will fashion our hearts to beat with His. You know, God will fashion our hearts to beat with His. And the same compassion He has for His people, He will give to us when we meet them. Your heart's cry should be, God, let me be like You. And when I meet somebody, don't let me say a word. Don't let it be me. But everything comes out of me is You, God. Everything that comes out of me is You, God. Not one or two things, but everything. All right, I said He will fashion our hearts to beat with His, and the same compassion He has for His people, He will give to us when we meet them. This is not human compassion. This is not human compassion. It is a true heart of compassion from God's own heart that will cause seekers to respond to God's love. See, it's human passion, compassion they don't need, because that's what the world is, human compassion. They need the compassion of Christ, and they need it coming out of you. You need to be a reflection of Jesus. You need to be a reflection of heaven. God's called us to the third heaven years ago. We need to go there and stay there until we become just like Jesus. Sit at His feet as long as it takes. A.A. Allen one time, the miracles weren't happening in his services the way he thought they would, so he locked himself in the clothes closet. Told his wife, I'm not coming out until I hear God's voice. And he said, don't bother me. 5 days later, he came out with the glory of God shining on me. He heard God's voice, and his ministry just really sparked all over again. How many of you would do that? Say, God, I'm going to lock myself in the house. Closet might not be big enough, but I'm going to lock myself in my room until You come and You meet me and You change me and You rearrange me and You make me more like Jesus. Amen. Come on. We can learn to walk in unison with the Holy Spirit and to be led by Him. You can learn that. And when we do this, words of knowledge come, miracles happen, and people in darkness are drawn to true light. Don't tell me that you cannot walk in unison with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. You'll lose that argument with me every time. Amen. I know. I walk there. I live there. We can learn to walk in unison with the Holy Spirit and be led by Him. When we do this, words of knowledge come, miracles happen, and people in darkness are drawn to true light. True light. You husbands and wives that live together and you're always fussing, you haven't learned yet to walk in unison with the Holy Spirit. You haven't learned that. Or you wouldn't be doing that. Are you listening? Even with our kids, if we learn to walk in unison with the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be doing the things with our kids that are not godly. All right, different strokes for different folks. There is a compelling factor involved in introducing people to Jesus. In Luke 14, verse 21, we see the urgency of the time and the four kinds of people we are to compel to come in to eat at the table. We are to compel the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. You see that? You know, one time when I first started ministering, there was just this couple that we had in the church, and they just could not get it together. And I said, God, what is wrong here? He said, the poor you always have among you. A lot of people think that's people with no money. but it's really poor spiritually. They just cannot comprehend the true spiritual truth of God's word. And those people are still lost today, 30 years later. Still in church, but still lost. Are you listening? We are to minister to four types of people: the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. It is important to truly value the person you are communicating with the way Jesus does. If I'm ministering to you, I have to value you the way Jesus values you, or I'm not going to do you any good. Brett and Nancy are called to be spiritual fathers and mothers. So as spiritual fathers and mothers, when they minister to an individual, they have to minister to them the way Jesus would. They have to be imitating Jesus when they do that. Are you seeing this? I don't care who you are, if you're called to be a spiritual father, mother, or not. You are still, when you minister to somebody, you should minister to them like Jesus does. And Jesus didn't hit you over the head with a big whip and tell you to get it together, did he? Then why do you do that to others? Come on. All right, I said it's important to truly value the person you are communicating with the way Jesus does, and it is most important to follow Jesus to be true fishers of men. And in the Message Bible, it says in Matthew 4:18, walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman man out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." I thought that was sort of cute the way that was worded. Amen. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. You dumb Christians, you fail this part of the test all the time. You always ask questions. Instead of saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you," you just start asking all kind of questions. But what did it say here? They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. God knows everyone he has made. I don't care if you believe that or not. God knows everyone he has made. He knows where they have come from, what their pain is, and how they need to be encountered by God. We are short-sighted and limited in our understanding. We do not know the details of the life we are encountering, our own personal lives. We do not know the details of life we are encountering. God will tell us things about the one standing in front of us when we have taken time to let the love of the Lord soften our own hearts. So I'm going to read that again. God knows everyone he has made. Now, if you say God doesn't know you, then God didn't make you, the devil did. And we know that the devil didn't create anything, right? So you're messed up right at the gate. You're messed up. So get that straight. The devil never created anything. God knows everyone he has made. He knows where they have come from, what their pain is, and how they need to be encountered by God. We are short-sighted and limited in our understanding. And you can say amen to that. Go ahead, say amen. Amen. Thank you. We do not know the details of the life we are encountering. You know, and this point here is what I want to get at. We do not know the details of the life we are encountering. That means the person that you're going to come in contact with. You don't know anything about them. Or if you do, your understanding is very limited, all right? God will tell us things about the one standing in front of us. He will tell you things about that person that's standing in front of you so you know how to minister to them. He'll do this when we have taken time to let the love of the Lord soften our own hearts. Now, if you think that God's going to tell you about somebody standing in front of you when you have not allowed God to soften your heart, then you are on the wrong track. He is not going to tell you. The devil's going to tell you anything you want to hear. But God himself will not tell you about that person in front of you unless you've been in his presence. And I know a lot of saints of God sitting in the house of God who try to go out there and minister wrong and mess people up because they have not taken their proper time sitting in the presence of the Father. When we are free from judgment and criticism, and when we have clean hands and pure hearts, we see God. This is when God will show you as another person. When we have taken time to let the love of the Lord soften our own hearts, and when we are free from judgment and criticism, and when we have clean hands and pure hearts, we see God. In my experience, I have been surprised to watch God reach someone in the most unusual ways. The obvious need is often not the way God wants to reach them. Are you listening here? Sometimes it's a healing of the heart that needs to be addressed first before the physical healing. Well, I just know what you need. Do you really? Do you really? Unless you've been sitting at the, you wouldn't say that to begin with because that's haughty and high-minded. But unless you've been sitting at the feet of Jesus, you really don't know what that person needs. And that person might tell you what they need, but if you've been sitting in the presence of God, God's quietly speaking to you and saying, no, this is what they really need. Amen? I'm quite sure, Elaine, when you're on the streets, God tells you what people need. You and Mark, doesn't he? It's because of both you, I know, have been sitting at the presence of God and the feet of God. Why do you think he called you to the street ministry? It's because you know where you came from. You know what God has done for you. You have compassion for those people. And because you've taken time to sit at his feet, and he can use you to minister to these people. You have to understand, you just didn't willingly say, I'm going to be a street minister. You didn't do that. You might have thought you did. But really, all along, that was your calling in your life. And God led you down a road where you would understand those type of people. All right? So don't ever regret your past, because your past is your testimony. And now God's using you now to win the lost souls that are out there on the streets. And I've noticed a lot of people now have gotten, on that, I'll call it a bandwagon. A lot of people are ministering to the street people now and trying to feed them and clothe them. And I hope they soon get them housing. But, you know, this is God's time for the street people, in case you two don't know it. So you're right in God's perfect will right now. You're right where God wants you. And I want to both you to understand this morning that this love message needs to be taken to those people. I have talked to some street people, and every one of them have said they've never known the true love of anybody, let alone Christ. The one that's in my house right now, I never heard about Jesus until 2 years ago when I took him into my house. Never even heard the name Jesus. And I've had to blink my eyes a couple of times. That totally surprised me. So how many of the people that you minister to have never heard of Jesus before? All right? Luke 14:21 says, a servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly get out into the city streets and alleys. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb is what this is talking about. Start that again. The servant went back and told the master what had happened. See, what happens here is God is calling the church into the marriage supper. This is what this is all about. The church will not come. The church will not change. So God is upset. And the servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on, and bring them here. The servant reported back, master, I did what you commanded, and there's still room. The master said, then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. See, the church does not want God's house. You can come to grips with that or not this morning, but that's the truth. The church does not want God. So God's all right, and he's told us, I've left the church now, and now I'm out into the streets. And God's going into the streets now, and he's bringing the streets into the house of God. And the church is going to sit there and watch the street people take the pulpits, you know, be prophets, do all these signs, wonders, and miracles, and they're going to stand there with their mouth dropped open, but it's going to be too late because the church did not come when God called, and so now God's went to the world. All right? I've talked about the four distinct people groups. Here they are. The poor. Jesus said the poor would be with us always. Proverbs 19:17 says that if we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord, and he will repay us. Giving to the poor is an instant reward. God blesses this kind of outreach, and the poor benefit by the generosity and kindness they feel from these kinds of outreaches. In other words, we're talking about the poor people who are out on the street now. We're talking about out on the street people who don't have anything, and we give to them. We give them Jesus Christ first. We give them the love of God, you know, from our hearts. And then we feed them. We clothe them. We give them whatever. And eventually we give them housing. the maimed. When we think of the maimed, these are people who are unrecognizable, don't know who they are, they're alone, and don't know who you are, meaning that their trust bridges, here's our bridge sign, meaning that their trust bridges, lost my place here, are all blown up and they have nowhere to cross over. They have been hurt and abused much of their lives and usually medicate to treat their pain. It is my experience that they need a lasting relationship with someone who feels the need to befriend them so a trust bridge can be formed. The story about this sign about the bridge, I was in at Byler's one day and I saw this sign and God said, buy it. And I was up to the body of Christ because he wouldn't get it right, so I bought the sign. Not even understanding the meaning of it, but I understand the meaning now. Now get yourself together, build a bridge, and bring others across that bridge with you. Amen. Some of you will be like me. You'll do things you don't understand too. But eventually down, you go ahead and do them just because God said to. And down the road, you understand all things. Just because you don't understand it the minute he asks you to do it doesn't mean don't do it. It means by faith do it. And then God will explain it all to you later. Sometimes you might be like me already, or if not, you will be one day. You'll stand and say, God, how come I was so dumb when you told me to do that? Why didn't I understand it fully when you asked me to do it? I really believe he makes us that way so that we can just walk by faith and just trust him and just do and obey. All right. Once trust is earned, their hearts are open to hear truth and embrace new life in Jesus. Once trust is earned, their hearts are open to hear truth and embrace new life in Jesus. And, you know, I'm just going to bring up Elaine because she's always giving her testimony. You know, she says, like, with this people, couple of people, I've learned to trust you and Mark. And now they want to help minister, see, but they had to trust you, learn to trust you first. They had to know you were the real thing. And now they want to minister to the people too. All right, the lame. I think of these as the ones whose current spiritual understanding, how they are walking, cannot support them, and there is no strength in their walk. Meaning other gods and false Christs that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 have been the focus for them. They're not focusing on Jesus, but focusing on false gods and false Christs. All right? While everyone needs a personal encounter with God, this category of people seem to be the most impacted by feeling God touched them, and they will never forget it. This personal touch bypasses their minds. These people that are the lame, who are always looking, trying to lean on these false gods, once they feel God's touch, they're hooked. They're never going to go back again. This could be the ones talked about in Colossians 2:8 in the Message Bible. It says, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings, but that's not the way of Christ. Haven't you run across those in the house of God? Wouldn't you just like to turn around and walk away? But that would not be God. Like, you just stand there and just smile and just say, God, show them the truth. Well, that's what I do anyhow. Amen. Come on. Yeah, this, I won't argue about the Word of God. Don't ever argue about the Word of God. The Word of God is not there to argue. The Word of God there is to believe. All right, then let's talk about the blind. The blind wander aimlessly. This category is who Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. The blind are visionless and are dying without a vision. They are on a spiritual search and need a future and a hope. I often think of young people who take their lives because they feel they have no destiny or future. Prophetic words from God are essential for them. Their ears are open to hear, and they need a reason to live. You know, you guys are going to minister to other people. You need to make sure that you're walking really, really, really close with God and that you do have a prophetic voice, but that prophetic voice is not mixed, not a mixture, and you need to allow God to use you to give a prophetic word of encouragement to these people. All right. This may help us to understand that not everyone will be reached in the same way. God has a special appointment for everyone he is drawing. You cannot reach John over here the same way you reach Mary. This is where you have to have discernment. This is where you have to be have been in the presence of God. And this is so that now when you're standing in front of these people, God can tell you how to minister to each one individually. All right? Some might need a rebuke. Some will need encouragement. Some will need strong love. You have to be sitting in the presence of God before you talk to these people so God can use you the way he wants to use you. All right? Come on. I don't know how long you've been in the house of God. I really don't care. If you've only been there one day, you should know the love of God. The love of God should have impacted your heart in some way, shape, or form. And so in that one day when the love of God impacted your heart, then from that point on, the love of God should be growing and growing and growing and growing and growing until you know that God is love. So don't expect everybody to accept it. What I'm saying is don't expect everybody to accept the love of God the first time you tell them God loves them. Because they're not going to. If they've been really hurt and their heart's really closed to everybody around about them, they are not going to receive the fact that God loves them. As an example, I was always a child of God. Child that loved. I just loved everybody. I was always dragging strangers into the house. My mother used to always get so upset with me. You know, and I'd go by the blind place. We had a place where the blind people worked, made brooms, you know. And I had a cousin there, and I would tell the lady, my mother said I can bring her home to supper. So here I come, the little blind girl. And my mother said, Barbie, how many times have I told you not to go by there and pick her up? Then we'd have to take her home, you know, it'd be late at night. On and on and on it went. But I was always dragging somebody into the house to feed them. And then I got married, and my marriage wasn't any good. And I, after enough years went by, I just finally said, and every place in my house was loved. You know, I loved sweatshirts, love everything. And then one day I just burned all my clothes, took everything loved down, closed my heart and said, you're going to come this far, no further. Nobody ever hurt me from that point on because I didn't allow them to. I didn't go into the deep love. And then when God called me into the ministry, I was standing in church one day and God showed me my heart with a wall built around it and said, daughter, I have to tear this wall down. I want to use you, but I have to tear this wall down. And when I do, your heart will be hurt over and over and over again. But unless your heart is open to be hurt, I cannot use you. I stood there and cried, but I saw God tear it down. And I watched that wall fall. And the love came back. But then a couple years ago, after so much hurt, God showed me my heart again. I had about this high of a wall. He said, you're building again. Let me break that wall down because I won't be able to use you. And I said, God, it hurts. He said, it'll hurt even deeper, but I have to have your heart open to be hurt. So I let him take the wall down again, and the hurt was deeper, but I kept in my love walk. I'm not going to let anybody steal my love walk because without my love walk, I can't go to heaven. Are you understanding this? So if you're going to work for God, then you're going to have your heart out there in the open, ready to be hurt, but not let it kill you or build a wall, but ready to say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me so much. You allowed me to go through this just like Jesus did. And you can do that. You really can do that. Don't be afraid to heal the sick and work a miracle. God is doing awesome things, displaying his power, love, and glory. When we reach out to others, it reignites our love for God and his love for us. Don't be afraid to heal the sick and work a miracle. I really want to stress that this morning. It is wonderful to watch God's love reaching out to someone who is shaken to the core to finally find hope, healing, and a new beginning. It is wonderful to watch God's love reaching out to someone who is shaken to the core to finally find hope, healing, and a new beginning. I don't know about you, but I'm really around a lot of people right now that I'm watching where the enemy's trying to take them back into his pit. But we have to pray for them, have to minister to them, have to encourage them. And, you know, then watch them come forth. Dance where they never danced before. Dancing and shouting and singing, you know. They never did this before, but now they're learning freedom in Christ. They're learning to trust Christ. Why? Because you continue to show them love. And you continue to speak hope into their lives. and you hand them a prophetic word and say, here, this is what God said about you 2 days ago. And they read it and sit there and weep because God sees that person is already free even before they see themselves free. Are you listening? Come on, church. Are you a minister or are you not? Are you a vessel of truth, honor for Christ, or are you not? There's no in between. You either are or you are not. This is a vital time and hour to be completely focused on your relationship with God. Well, this is God speaking. Do not take your eyes off of us, you know, you and God, and experience my love in a more intimate level. You need to cut all ties of doubt and unbelief and really let yourself rest in my hands and trust me with all that you have. You cannot hold anything back. If you really want to experience this love journey that I have ready for you, this love will bring you to a place that you will be able to fulfill what I want to do with you simply because of love. Let's go back and read that again before we read the rest of it. Listen to what God's saying to each one of you individually. This is a vital time and hour to be completely focused on your relationship with me. Not your husband or your wife, but your relationship with God. Do not take your eyes off of us, you and God, and experience my love in a more intimate level. You need to cut all ties of doubt and unbelief and really let yourself rest in my hands and trust me with all that you have. You cannot hold anything back if you really want to experience this love journey that I have ready for you. In other words, you have to give everything to God. This love will bring you to a place that you will be able to fulfill what I want to do with you simply because of love. There will be no questioning, no second guessing, no selfish intent. The lost souls need my love. My children need my love. I gave of my love the greatest of my love when I gave of my son. You have to read that line again. I gave of my love the greatest of my love when I gave of my son. Receive this gift and see it for what it is and let go of the whispers of the enemy. It is really easy and uncomplicated. The only complication is sin and anything in your being that is in agreement against me. It is time to make an ultimate choice and come away with me and be a part of what I am doing. Your Father speaking to you. God's heart is bleeding because the body of Christ are calling themselves leaders and they are not walking in the love of Christ. You know, if you're walking in the love of Christ, you're not going to fight with your brother and your sister. You're not going to tear them down, but you're going to build them up. And if you don't have an answer for the question, you're going to say, I don't know. And then you're going to sit in the presence of the Father. And you're going to wait till you hear. And if you don't hear, you don't hear. And if you hear, then you give it to them. But if you don't hear, you just tell them they'll just have to rest in the Father's arm or leave the situation alone and let God take care of it. And I'm hearing God say, you've experienced nothing yet until you experience this true agape love. The love that covers all sin. The love that gathers in the lost and the dying souls. The body of Christ is so maimed and so crippled in their thought life. You know, the body of Christ has been sent the wrong message from my heavenly realm. I never compromise my word. And my word is yes and it's amen. And if you can't love, then you're not mine. I'm hearing God also say there's many dangers lurking in the shadows. And if you don't have the true love, my agape love, you will be ensnared by those dangers. The enemy will take you out. And he's saying this morning is the morning that he wants you to really, truly surrender all of yourself to him. Quit holding back a portion of yourself. but give everything to Him and allow Him to change you and rearrange you. And God is saying He can't use a mixture. It is all or nothing. All or nothing. I'm saying people are desperate to find truth. And God is changing the church for this harvest that He's bringing in. Be available to God and enjoy the life-changing benefits of being doers of the Word. Doers of the Word are true agape love vessels. Are you listening? No more pretend love. No more fake emotions. No more compromising God's Word. But walking in the true reality of who God really is and what His Word really represents. Some of you, God is saying, need to come to the feet of Jesus this morning. And you need to be filled full of this love of Christ before you go out into the street ever again. And if you want to submit yourself to God totally, completely, 100%, God is here this morning to reach down and touch you and to fill you full of Himself. You know, I could stand up here. It would take me 2 months to tell you of my life. And my life has not been easy. But God's always brought me through. And He only brought me through because I stayed in a love walk. And even though I built my wall, I still loved. But I didn't love unconditionally. I didn't allow anybody to hurt me. But I didn't ever hurt others. And I was always a forgiving person. You know, I could write a book. But I don't want to write a book, and I don't want to take 2 months to give a testimony. I'm just saying that I know why God called me into the ministry. Because I know it, I've lived it, and I know you can live it too. I don't care what anybody's done to you. God does. And God's made a way for you not to be hurt and not to be held into that prison cell. And He's making a way of escape this morning. And He's saying, come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you want to come and empty yourself out to God, the altar's open. But only come if you truly want to be emptied out. Only come if you're truly going to receive the love of Christ and then take it to a lost and dying world. Don't mock God. Remember what He said in the beginning, that He would not allow. He said, I'm not going to tolerate lack of love out of my stewards of my word. He's not going to tolerate it any longer. You need to learn how to love as Jesus loved.